This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, Program Director for WEMU, and proud to be a part of this project with our partner on this, Concentrate Media. We are the media partner for this project, and the basic gist of it is, let's take a look at Ypsilanti, Ypsilanti Township. Let's talk about some of the positive things and people and places and businesses and, you know, things that are really here to help lift our community up, because we noticed there was not a lot of coverage of things happening in and around Ypsilanti unless they were negative. It was in the Detroit media, the Ann Arbor media. There was a lot of negative coverage of Ypsilanti. And if you're here in this community, what you know is there are tons of great people here that see that there are problems in our community and really want to do what they can to help lift it up one person, one group, one neighborhood, you know, one event at a time. And we're happy to have Sarah Rigg here, the project manager for Concentrate Media this morning. Hey, good morning, Sarah.
Hello.
And thanks for bringing us all this great information. We're excited to share it with people. It's Concentrate A2 on Twitter, Concentrate Media everywhere else, of course, concentratemedia.com.
Yep.
And if you can't remember all of those things, you can find it all at WEMU.org, where we've linked to the great work that Sarah has done for this morning's piece that we're talking about, which is...
There's a new music series, music event series taking place in Ypsilanti at 734 Brewing, and it's a partnership with Grove Studios and Double Negative People. And I, our photographer Doug attended one session, I attended another one, so we got a pretty good idea of what's going on there.
And who did you bring with us this morning? I know we got one person here with us, one person on the phone.
Yeah, so in the studio with us, we have Rod Wallace. It's the event, the plug-in, is his brainchild. And we also have Rick Coughlin, who is a co-founder of Grove Studios. And as I mentioned, they are one of the sponsors for the event series.
Cool. So we'll talk to you again in a second here, Sarah. And please feel free to jump in anytime if you feel like you got some good info to share, because I know you have lots of great info to share. But Rod, welcome. And Rick, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And so the plug-in, Rod, what is this? What is this thing?
So the plug-in is a series of events that are meant to engage with creators in the area, music creators, musicians, in a different way. The majority of contact that musicians have with each other is either through actual shows, or it's through, on the producer side, it's through actual beat battles where I bring my beats, you bring your beats, and people pick who is doing the best. So what I wanted to do differently, based on some research that I've done about creators and art and creativity and its intersection with education, is I wanted to give creators the opportunity to come together and create something new on the spot. It's a very electric atmosphere when people are actually creating. So what we do, the first set of plug-in events that we've done are called the Dirty 30. And what we do is we bring producers in and we give them a sample, and they have 30 minutes to make a beat out of it, make a new production out of it. And then we play them, and the money that we've collected that night, what we've been doing is we've been giving it to the winners. And it's been very successful so far.
Cool. So, Rick, you've been involved in this. What are you doing with this Dirty 30 and the plug-in?
Well, part of what Grove Studios does is support with the audio equipment that we bring in, and really just engaging with the community in the way that we want to, being that we're a self-service rehearsal studio and production space. We just want to get the word out that we have a place where people can affordably access professional equipment to do their work. And so it's as simple as, coming in, plugging in a laptop. We have microphones available. So really any style of music, any genre of music is something that we support. And when we first met Rod and, talked about his ideas and some of his research that he's done, we just really wanted to get behind that in any way we could, because it's a unique event and it's a lot of fun, quite frankly.
Rod, let's talk about that research for a second. What is it that led you to believe that a collaborative environment with some competitive elements was better than just a straight up, my beats are better than yours constant, competition going on?
So just a little bit of history about me. I'm a former school administrator, and I had the opportunity to help develop a music production program and a music production lab in River Rouge at River Rouge High School. And what I saw was we had students who were coming to class every day, and they were actively learning software, learning techniques and things that I felt transferred over to other areas of the job market, to be frank. And so when I had the opportunity to come back to Eastern as the director of EMU Upper Brown, I began to seek my PhD. So what I wanted to research, when I was looking at what I wanted to research and trying to identify something that I was passionate about, I thought that it would be really cool if I could do something involving hip hop and education. So as I began to take a few courses and try to explore this from a different angle than just an end user angle, and started looking at it as a curriculum and as a pedagogy and as a thought process behind teaching, I found that there's this wealth of ability for the creators to be able to develop their own self-efficacy, to be able to develop their creativity and be able to really get in touch with who they are by actively reflecting on what they're doing and why they're doing it. So basically, the plug-in was born out of this desire that I had to interact with music in a different way. And, you know, I've been around music for the better part of my life. And what I'm finding is so many of our young people, they just focus on, they want to be the next biggest superstar, when in actuality, the benefits to them actually creating it and getting feedback, getting positive feedback, and doing critical analysis of what they're actually doing, it yields so much more value to them than just what can be gleaned through money. So bringing that to the table here, 734 has been a brilliant partner of ours. Grove has been supportive of everything that I've been doing along these lines, so it just seemed like a natural partnership to get it done, and it's just continuously growing.
So, Rick, as somebody that runs a studio, which I'm assuming a lot of creative folks in Ypsilanti have made their way through, you know, do you feel like there is a burgeoning music scene in Ypsi? Is there an Ypsi sound? I mean, what are you hearing in your lab?
Yeah, I it'd be hard for me to pin down a sound. I think it's eclectic and all over the map, and I think that's one of the, you know, beautiful things about Ypsi is, you know, it's really a diverse town, and there's a lot of people doing different things. So I don't know if I could pin down a sound. We have everything from, you know, country to indie rock and hip hop, you know, come through our doors. And, you know, really our mission at the end of the day too is not to just provide that professional workspace, but to Rod's, you know, research, the idea that people can come in and collaborate. And we kind of think of Grove Studios as more of a co-working space for musicians rather than, you know, just a recording space. And so that's kind of what we focus on. And Rod's history as an educator is my history as well. And so, you know, early on in my career, I was using, you know, hip hop to teach poetry to seventh graders. To get them more engaged in the wordplay and everything that's sort of behind that, so they can see like all of the sort of historical context of that. But then you get into the technical stuff and how to use the equipment and the collaboration and you know, all of those things come together. And with Rod's idea of these sort of they feel a little bit part like workshop and then performance, but it's just everything about it really are the kinds of things that like we just like to get behind.
So Rod, let's talk about that for a second. You know, how many of these events have you done at 734 now?
We've had three. This last one was the third one.
All right. So how do you get people to come and participate in an event like this? How do you draw them in? Because this is a little bit different take on what traditionally people would be used to.
So largely the work has been done over social media. Just putting it out there. This last one was benefiting. It benefited from the fact that I'm a part of a group of producers that are all 35 plus career guys who don't depend on music to make their money. We're older guys. We call ourselves the dirty old man. But so what we do is we go all over the country and we buy records and we make a lot of music. So we hold up at a loft in downtown Detroit the weekend that this last Dirty 30 was made, and we created enough music for an album. So that album right now is being mixed and being kind of refined for the next step. So this last time, a number of them came out and made beats, and they're from all over. They're from Florida and California and Washington and Maryland. So we had 17 producers this last time, and they all took the same bit of music, and they were able to create something new out of it. In months past, we've had a lower number, but I think that with the amount of content that's going on the internet, the amount of buzz that's building about the event, opportunities like this, we're looking to have we're really looking to really build our own niche here in the area and have producers from all over coming to do this.
So as a producer yourself, I mean, what do you see in IPSY? What is at hand here? I mean, you're bringing people together to collaborate, but, you know, what's the mix in IPSY? I mean, Rick mentioned, you know, obviously we see it too, that the live music spectrum crosses the entire board here. We're pretty eclectic, but I think that IPSY is known in some ways. There is a specific hip-hop sound that, that has come out of Ypsilanti. Are you seeing that reflected in what you're doing?
I am. I think that sometimes I look at IPSY as being you know, like this eclectic place, this special place for artists, because trial and error is really huge here, where people can try different things. They can try to identify with people who potentially are looking for something different, and they can do things differently. And we find that we have musicians who are locally who are all over the place. They make more music that's a little bit more modern. You have Drew Denton. You have Kid J. They make, you know, music that may be a little bit more modern. You also have artists that do different things, like True Classic in Ann Arbor. And so I've really been excited about the hip-hop movement and the music movement that I've experienced here in Washtenaw County since I've come back out here, because there is so much variety and there's so much interest in supporting it. I think that there are a lot of people who are not making music who are just really interested in seeing Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor win.
So let's talk about that from your perspective, Rick. Obviously, you know, as a guy who's running a studio, you got to have some interest in supporting a music scene. What is it coming out of Grove Studios? What is it that you're learning about this community based on what's coming through your studios?
You know, so I've lived in Ypsy for 25 years, and one of the things that drew me to the area originally was actually the music scene. I think there's been a history of that, you know, and obviously having a number of universities, lots of young people living around town, that certainly provides that, you know, that creative juice, you know. In terms of what I'm learning, I'm learning about new artists all the time that are coming to our studio that I, you know, didn't know about before. And I like to think that I can, you know, keep tabs on everything that's happening as much as I can. But obviously, you know, running a studio, working full time, it's definitely a challenge to you know, keep an eye on and attend all the shows that I'd like to. I mean, Rod mentioned some of the artists that I highly respect as well. You know, Louis Picasso and the gallery, he's got a full live band. They do some rehearsal at our space, which is, you know, it's a live hip hop band.
Absolutely.
You know, full instrumentation. So, you know, I see, I don't, you know, this kind of, you know, rock, hip hop, you know, some kind of crossover work that people are doing and collaborating with each other. And it's tight knit. I think a lot of people, you know, are doing shows together, and you know, they're taking it outside of Ypsy too. So I think there's some notoriety outside. I think people recognize it as a town where things are happening.
Rod, where can we find this music? What happens to the Dirty 30 after these collaborators come together at one of the events?
Well, it goes into the vaults a little bit, but there's a lot of music that can be found on dirtyoldman.bandcamp.com. That's Dirty OLMEN. There's a couple of remix albums and some projects that we've worked on from other cities that we've been in. We're kind of still in the beginning stages, so we're interested in exactly what this could look like moving forward. We have some other ideas for the plug-in to really move it towards the generation of actual music that can be created and produced and marketed and sold and all of that stuff. But we would just recommend that everybody come out to those events when they're publicized, because it's really a unique experience for people who enjoy music. And it doesn't matter what kind of genre you like. We've been able to pull samples from a number of different genres of music. And so we try to engage with everybody. And it's a really cool thing down in Depot Town if you get a chance to see it.
And so where do we find info about it, the plugin?
You can go to doublenegativepeople.com. and find out information about the plugin. You also can follow me on Instagram at Where Is Wallace. You know, if you watch The Wire, you know what Where Is Wallace means. You can follow me there. So that's really where we drive a lot of the traffic that comes, and we can talk about the plugin.
So both of you, are you kind of hoping that when students start to come back in the fall here, are you going to be targeting that new population that's going to arrive here and show them what IPSE can do?
Absolutely. We've engaged with a couple of organizations that are on campus that are focused around the creation of music and those transferable skills. And so our next plug-in, we won't be doing one in August. Our next plug-in will be in September when the students come back. We're looking to engage with them and have them come out. So we're looking for something that'll be pretty huge.
And Rick, I got one last question for you because I'm kind of interested in the process. And you mentioned you've been around IPSE for about 25 years, but do you think it's easier and more accessible for people to create music from scratch today than it had been, you know, even prior to the digital era? Do you think that more people are thinking, well, I can be a producer because the tools are more available and at hand to consumers?
Yeah, I do. It's definitely more accessible. And you know, for us in thinking about, you know, young musicians coming through, it was important for us to create a space that felt professional. You know, being someone who's played in bands for 25 plus years, I've definitely, you know, kept my equipment or, you know, rehearsed or you know, written music in some questionable places in terms of quality. And so we wanted to do that, you know, for people making music, and we wanted to do it in a way that was affordable. So keeping our hourly prices, you know, as low as $8 an hour to come in and get some work done was really key for us.
Well, that was the I think you kind of answered it, but that was the follow-up question to that as we're kind of wrapping up here. But the in a community like Ypsilanti that, you know, has a very diverse population, do you feel like having a place available through events like the plugin or through studios like yours that we're hearing artists and music that may not have existed if those opportunities weren't around?
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, the change in technology and you know, in terms of price, it's more accessible than it's ever been. And I think, you know, we're interested in just making it more accessible.
If I could say, you know, there are Grammy Award winning albums right now that are being recorded on laptops and vocals that are being recorded in hotel rooms. So what Grove does is it allows artists who have the capacity to bring their own laptop or bring their own, you can produce there too, but a lot of times, you know, these producers just need places to be able to kind of listen to their music the way they want to listen to it and be able to add to it and mix it and things like that. And I think Grove does a good job of capturing that.
All right. We hope to see you at the next plug-in, Sarah. You know, Doug's got some good pictures. You mentioned you sent him out to one of these events.
Yep.
What was his takeaway?
Yeah, he was really energized by it, too. He went to the one in June, and I went to the one in July, which is the biggest one yet. So, yeah, lots of big energy. The one I went to, they had all the doors open. It was 91 degrees when I got there, and everybody was dripping sweat, but the tunes were even hotter than the weather. So it was
Look at that. Yep.
Wow.
Were they dropping straight fire?
Oh, my God.
Could I say that? You know,
heat rocks.
Yeah, okay.
Dropping heat rocks, yes. Absolutely.
Sarah, thanks so much for bringing us. We love, obviously, WEMU. We're enamored with the creation of music and especially localized genres and what our community sounds like. So thank you so much for bringing us this. We love to hear about another piece of the sound of Ypsilanti and the sound of our community, especially new artists in our community. So how are you going to top this for next week?
Well, I don't know. I'm going a completely different direction. I'm going to be talking about some of these health, wellness, and alternative healing type businesses that are new in Ypsilanti within the last year or so.
Hey, music, man, mind and body, it's all the same. It's all the same thing. We're all in the same place.
And I would like to say maybe for our next Dirty 30, we like to have Michael Jewett pick something.
All right. Yeah. You know, pull something out of the collection. We've got 100,000 albums here.
Absolutely.
We could probably pick something that might work well.
It's heavenly.
All right. You know. Yeah. So when you leave here, go bother him and go bug him and tell him that you want something, you know, the Michael Jewett and Rod Wallace collaboration on the next sound for the Dirty 30.
Sounds good. Sounds
great
good.
Idea.
All right, Sarah, we'll talk to you next week. Looking forward to that. As always, you can find everything that Concentrate Media does at concentratemedia.com and all the great work that you're hearing here. And thank thank you. And all the music, too. We're going to be linking on our website, by the way, to some of the music from that last 30-30. You can get all that at WEMU.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.